In 2008, following the 300th celebration of the Church of the Brethren's founding, Peg and I went on to Paris, and I was excited about going to the Louvre. I heard a lot about it. I knew it was a center of great art pieces, great artwork, and I wanted particularly to see the Mona Lisa. I'd read about it, I'd seen pictures of it, I understood her eyes followed you wherever you went, and it was true. I stood there with great humility, for here was a masterpiece. But you know, as I look out over this congregation into the eyes of each one of you, I see a masterpiece in the making. Oh, we don't make ourselves. We commit ourselves. We commit to following Jesus. And it's in that very act of commitment that God begins to paint in our lives a masterpiece. It is in that followership that we begin to grow and we mature. When I think of the first sermons that I ever preached, and I am going to go through those sermons and decide probably to toss most of them away, I realize they were not really great sermons, but they were the best I had to give in the moment. And God used those sermons to connect with the hearts and the minds of people, as God is using this moment to connect with our hearts and our minds. Discipleship and volunteerism go together. You are all volunteers in different kind of ways, and later we're going to discover how many different ways, how many of you are involved in the life of this church. Jesus depended on followers, those who would follow after, learn from him. Paul, writing in to the Christians and church at Ephesus, encourages his listeners with these words, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not your doing. It is a gift of God, that through faith we find that we are saved. It is not our own efforts that save us. It's not our singing in the choir or our picking up the offering or our telling a children's story that we are saved. But rather, it is, as this poster points out, for we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In the 2019 Brethren Work Camps brochure, it emphasizes growth in Christ with seeds of faith planted in the rich soil of our hearts. Hopefully every Sunday when we come here, we try at least to open our heart as a rich soil in which God plants the seeds of a maturing, growing, expanding faith. The author of the brochure calls our attention to this reality when he or she, and I don't know which it was, writes, "If you cultivate it, that faith will take root in your understanding of God and bloom as it intertwines," I like that word, intertwines with your life and living. We have vines growing up the walls of our house. Now, I know it's not a good idea to let that happen because little tentacles begin to dig their way into the grout that holds the wall together. But it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful masterpiece that God, through creation, is creating. Now, our text ended this morning that Kim so well read with maturing. What were the words? Maturing? I didn't write them down, so sorry about that. It doesn't matter. Maturation is what we're talking about. We don't just become a Christian and all of a sudden we're there. We don't just go to seminary and all of a sudden we're a pastor. We don't just become an architect and all of a sudden can design a masterpiece in a building. We don't just become a Sunday school teacher. It takes time, it takes preparation, it takes maturation. So our second scripture identifies how this works. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. It begins with what you've been given. God-given gifts, abilities, talents, passion. Complementing your basic faith, it begins with that connectional piece, the faith of discipleship, with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, I love that word, I need it, reverent wonder, and warm friendliness and generous love. Each of these character-forming qualities build on one another year after year after year until we take our last breath. Let me express it this way in a portion of the wonderful poem by Myrna Brooks Welch. I've always heard it Myra, but actually the poem uses her name as Myrna. "When am I bid, good friends?" the auctioneer cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1? Only one? Who will make it two? $2 once, and $3. From the back of the room, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, and wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased. The crowd was quiet. The auctioneer, in a low voice, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" $1,000? And who will make it two? $2,000? And $3? Going and gone, he said. The people cheered, but some of them cried, We don't quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "'Twas the touch of the master's hand." And what takes our lives and turn them into servant lives with growing character and love? It is the touching of our hearts and minds by our master's hand. And as we go with him, as we involve ourselves in the day-to-day routine activities of living our faith and witnessing to our faith, maturing in our faith, as we practice our faith here in the choir, practicing together to create a grace piece of music, or serving as a leader of our music, or serving in the nursery, or serving in children's church, or as we get very excited serving and working with the new partnership in learning. All of it is a step-by-step maturation. But remember, it's the touch of the master's hand that makes a whole difference on who we are and what we're doing. Amen.